Chapter 3. Tyree was glad to arrive home before his father. Dad usually came home in a bad mood. Mom would rush around making dinner, trying to keep the peace and stay out of his way. But even she could not avoid catching blasts of his foul temper.
"This house is filthy. Can't you do anything right?" he would often complain.
"Gil, I just cleaned it yesterday. The only mess I see is from your work boots," Mom would reply softly.
"You want to start an argument tonight, don't you?"
Dad would shout, slamming doors and stomping around the house like a drunken elephant. Then he would settle down in his chair in front of the TV, his dinner on a metal tray in his lap. Within a few minutes after he finished eating, he would begin snoring in his chair, and peace would return to the house. During such times, Tyree would look at his father and remember what he once said.
"I might not be the smartest man in the world, and I ain't the best looking neither, but you better believe that folks are going to respect me because they know I ain't scared of nothing. I don't care who I'm talking to. I just look them in their eyes and they're afraid because they know I can hurt them. All the education in the world still ain't too much for the fear I put in folks. That's all I need."
Tyree had accepted that philosophy for himself long ago. Like his father, he knew he wasn't as smart as other kids, at least not at school. His brother Warren had always been a stronger student than Tyree. Warren was better looking, too. He looked more like Mom, tall and slender with nice, well-shaped features. Tyree, on the other hand, had inherited his appearance from his father. As a boy, he hated his stocky body, thick neck and square jaw, features which made him stand out from his peers.
"I'm ugly,"
Tyree wailed when he was 8 after a group of older kids chased him home, taunting him.
"Moose," they had called him over and over again. "That boy looked like a big ugly moose."
"Don't take nothing from them, Tyree, and never let them see you cry," Warren had said, chasing the boys away. "Anytime anyone give you trouble, you send them to me. That's what brothers are for, you got that?"
Tyree wished his brother was home and able to help him, but Tyree knew he had to handle this problem alone, and the only way he could see getting his respect back was by owning a gun. That alone would rescue him from the dark hole into which he had fallen. Saturday finally came, and Tyree decided to try to get a gun before his meeting with Bones. He just could not wait a whole week, not with daily humiliations at Blueford. Tyree knew he could buy almost anything in the neighborhood after dark. Just last year, Londell James got a gun and used it to shoot Roylin Bailey, Amber Lynn's older brother. Even though Roylin was only grazed, Londell became one of the most feared kids on the street. Just mentioning his name made many kids nervous. Tyree hoped one day that his own name would have the same effect on people. No matter what, he just had to get that gun. Near the corner of Cypress Street, Tyree saw two guys on bikes and a couple of others shooting baskets at a hoop bolted to the side of an abandoned building. Tyree recognized them immediately. Cedric Hodden and Shamar Briggs were the two kids jumping curbs on bikes. They were both in his freshman class. Eddie Bryson and Len Staley, two Blueford dropouts, were the ones shooting baskets. Tyree was certain one of them could help him find a gun. Taking a deep breath, he edged towards the makeshift basketball court.
"What's up, guys? How y'all doing?" Tyree asked. He knew Eddie and Len from middle school. In the 7th grade, he got money from Len by shoving and smacking him around a bit. Len seemed pretty scared at the time, but that was years ago. Len had probably forgotten about it by now, Tyree thought.
"I remember you," Len said, stepping back when Tyree approached. "You the dude that used to steal my lunch money. What you want?"
"He did that?"
Eddie asked before Tyree could answer.
"Yeah," Len replied. "Roughed me up a few times, even when I didn't have anything to give him."
"Man, that was just kid stuff,"
Tyree said, extending his hand to Len.
"We way past that now."
"It wasn't kid stuff when I went hungry at lunchtime because you stole my money," Len snapped.
Tyree noticed both boys were staring at the cast on his broken wrist. His heartbeat quickened slightly, and sweat began to form on his brow. Just then, Cedric and Shamar rode over on their bikes. Shamar began laughing when he spotted Tyree.
Hey, Hobbs, you look so funny laying on the floor in the cafeteria after Mercer clocked you.
He got beat up at school?
Len asked Cedric excitedly. Did you see it happen? Tyree felt his stomach twisting into knots. He could see what was happening, but there was no way to stop it.
Yeah, I was right there, Cedric said, getting off his bike. This little dude, Daryl Mercer, smallest kid in our class, pounded him, and that's how he got his wrist busted. You should have seen him. He was rolling on the floor crying like a baby. It's broke, it's broke.
Cedric's last words were a screeching imitation of a child's voice.
Didn't happen like that, Tyree protested.
Yeah, it did,
Shamar said, laughing.
You got beat down. Mercer took you down proper.
Raucous laughter erupted from all four boys. The sound was sharp and piercing, stabbing at Tyree like bee stings.
You better watch your mouth, he snarled. I can whip all y'all. Ain't no doubt about that. I can do it, bad wrist and all. So don't be playing me, all right?
The boys looked a bit edgy, watching him carefully from a distance of about 6 feet. Until last week, his threats had always worked, making kids cower in fear or simply run away. But now no one was running. The sight of him writhing on the floor of the cafeteria had weakened his game. Because Daryl had taken him down, others thought they could do it. Tyree could see it in their eyes. They were sizing him up.
You ain't gonna do nothing, Cedric barked, except maybe cry again.
The four boys cackled loudly at Cedric's comment. Tyree's pulse throbbed in his neck.
Stop laughing or I'll take all y'all down,
he screamed, spit flying from his mouth. But they kept laughing.
It's broke, it's broke,
Len said, dancing around in mock agony. Tyree had to do something. He couldn't stand it anymore. With his good hand, he grabbed the kid closest to him, Cedric Hodden, and hurled him to the ground.
You like that?
He yelled, turning to challenge the other boys.
I got more where that came from.
Cedric scrambled to his feet and brushed the dirt off his jeans.
Man, I'd whoop you bad, only I don't fight crippled people with busted hands. I ain't a punk like you.
Let's teach this punk a lesson, Len said. I'm tired of him running off at the mouth. At once, the four boys closed in, cautious to avoid Tyree's good hand. As they circled, they snickered with excitement, unnerving Tyree. If they had been ganging up on him with anger, it might have been easier to bear, but they didn't even respect him enough to take him seriously. He had become a joke, a fool. He had become a nothing. Len and Eddie grabbed Tyree, hooking his arms behind his back. Together, Cedric and Shamar yanked off his jacket. Tyree struggled to free himself, but together the four boys were stronger.
Throw it up there on the roof of that building, Eddie said.
Get off of me,
Tyree growled, but he was powerless in their grip. Cedric grabbed the arm of Tyree's jacket and tossed it onto a nearby roof, but it fell back to the ground again.
Try again,
urged Eddie, standing behind him.
Get off!
Tyree's mouth was completely dry, his heart raced, and his muscles trembled and strained, but he could not escape. At one point, he managed to free his leg and kick Len in the chest, but the boys overpowered him. As he struggled, Tyree remembered how he once tossed a kid's t-shirt into a toilet during gym class. The boy had cried like a baby while others laughed. Tyree could almost see the boy's face as he watched Cedric fling his jacket into the air. On his second try, Cedric was successful. The jacket snagged on a jagged brick near the apartment roof and hung there. The boys released Tyree, shoving him to the ground and applauding Cedric's throw. Tyree landed on the asphalt with a thud, partially rolling on his chest. A jolt of pain shot into his arm like a hot knife, causing him to wince.
Look at him, Len roared. He's gonna cry. How's it feel to get paybacks?
Shamar laughed. An old woman peered from an apartment window just below where Tyree's jacket hung.
What's the matter with you boys? What kind of fools are you throwing clothes on my roof? You all need a good thrashing. Now get out of here. If you don't stop your hollering and fighting, I'll get the cops after you, I swear I will.
The boys scattered, leaving Tyree alone on the ground holding his wrist, his face covered in a layer of dirt and sweat. Tyree imagined how pitiful he looked, lying on the ground holding his wrist, his jacket dangling from the roof like the carcass of a dead animal. For a moment, Tyree sat in silence, anger swirling in his chest like flames from a wind-driven fire. But anger was not the only emotion Tyree felt. Somewhere deep inside, he also felt a knot of sadness and shame. Years ago, his father taught him there was no room for such feelings, that men were not supposed to cry. It was a lesson Tyree practiced every day. Forcing back bitter tears that threatened to gather in his eyes, Tyree stood up and brushed the dirt from his clothes. In the distance, he heard the squeak of an old bicycle approaching. Turning quickly towards the sound, he recognized the figure on the bike even though he was at the other end of the block. It was Darryl Mercer. Darryl biked towards Tyree for an instant, but then quickly turned up an adjacent street out of sight. In seconds, the sound of the bike was gone. Tyree knew Darryl worked at a nearby grocery store. He wondered if he was on his way to work, or maybe Darryl heard about what happened and decided to come to laugh at him too. "Too late, Mercer," Tyree said bitterly. He looked up at his jacket and saw that the old woman continued to watch him. Tyree felt even more humiliated standing in his undershirt beneath the old woman's gaze. There was no way he would go home without the jacket. If he did, his father would punish him. The jacket was relatively new, and Dad did not take kindly to clothes being lost or ruined.
"What you staring at me for?" Tyree shouted. "Just throw down my jacket."
The woman scowled and shouted back.
"Don't you be giving me orders, you fresh-mouthed thing. From what I've seen, you best not be giving orders to nobody. Now you show me some respect, and I might be able to help you," she said.
Tyree lowered his head in frustration. The sadness in his chest seemed overwhelming. Never had things been this bad. Now even old people were disrespecting him.
"Please, lady, I just need to get my jacket so I can get out of here," Tyree muttered.
The woman went back into her apartment and returned with a broom, which she used to reach the jacket. After a few seconds, she managed to dislodge it, and the jacket tumbled to the ground with a thud. Tyree raced over to where it fell and put it on quickly. Eager to get away from the old woman, he left without a word. "Kids today," she grumbled as he walked away. Tyree was in a hot sweat when he reached his street. His mission now had even greater urgency. There was no way things could be right until he got a gun. Though he would terrorize Shamar, Len, Eddie, and Cedric with it, his first target would be Darryl Mercer. He was the one who had caused Tyree to lose respect. He was the one who made it unsafe for Tyree to walk in his own neighborhood. Of course, Tyree would not kill Darryl. He would just scare him, make him cower, make him beg, cry, and whimper. And if something happened, if a mistake occurred and Darryl got hurt, that was okay too. Darryl had to pay. When Tyree got home, his father was waiting.
"Where you been? Where you get off coming home this late? What you been doing all afternoon, huh?"
Dad threw questions at Tyree like swift punches.
"I've been looking for work," Tyree said.
"Liar. No good liar. If you've been looking for work, tell me who you talked to."
The guy in the pizza place," Tyree stammered.
"What guy? What pizza place?"
Dad thundered. Tyree searched his mind frantically. He pulled a name out of nowhere, knowing if he mentioned a real place, Dad would check.
"Pop's Pizza Place," he said.
"I never heard of no such place. Where is it?"
Dad demanded.
"Tell me where it is, boy."
I don't remember," Tyree said.
"Liar,"
Dad shouted, still clutching Tyree's shirt. Dad raised Tyree's face until it was just inches from his.
"You tell me the truth."
"All right," Tyree said in a shaky voice. "I was just hanging out with some dude, shooting hoops and stuff."
"Oh, yeah? You got chores to do around here, and you waste time messing with your friends? Your grades are sliding, and you're out all day shooting hoops?"
"Dad, it's Saturday," Tyree pleaded.
"Don't you talk back to me, boy. I know what happens on those streets, especially to kids like you who don't have no sense. Now you listen real close. Next time you go out, you tell me where you're going, or you won't see sunshine for a while. And another thing, the next report card ain't a whole lot better than the last one. You're going to get a beating you'll never forget. You hear what I'm saying?"
Dad said, shaking Tyree for emphasis.
Yeah, Dad, Tyree muttered.
With that, Dad pushed him away as if Tyree disgusted him so much he could not stand to see his face. Tyree hurried to his room and flopped down on the bed. Staring up at the water-stained ceiling, Tyree wiped his eyes, trying to fight off the tears that were gathering. Nearly 10 years had passed since Tyree had really cried. He was about 5 years old then. It was a bitter winter evening, and sleeting rain was pelting the front window when Tyree found a stray black puppy crouched against the house. Tyree wrapped the puppy in his jacket and brought it inside. Mom wanted to let Tyree keep the puppy, but Dad snatched it up and tossed it back into the wet cold and slammed the door after it.
"Don't need no stinking animal cluttering up the house," Dad had growled. "We already got enough people living here and enough bills to pay."
That night, Tyree lay awake for hours hearing the cries of the whimpering puppy mixed with the crash of rain and wind. By morning, a thin layer of ice had formed on the roofs of buildings. Tyree went looking for the puppy. He didn't find it for 3 days, and he only found it then because of the smell. That had been the last time Tyree really cried, and that was over a dead, muddy bundle of fur in a dirty alley.
"It's gonna be all right, little man," Warren had said when he spotted Tyree leaning over the lifeless body.
Pushing the memory from his mind, Tyree folded his arms over his chest and resolved not to cry. He hated feeling so weak. He hated Bluford and all its students and teachers. He hated Darryl Mercer and what he had done to his life. And that night, for the first time ever, Tyree hated himself.